made it through that one. I showed my slides 120 times on my deputation. It failed three times. Buffalo Ridge, the meeting in Abington where my family all came to see it, and another meeting in Denver, Colorado where my wife's family all came to see it. Preacher Lassie said it's to keep me humble, so we did make it through that one. Only one slide stuck. Open your Bibles tonight to the book of Exodus, chapter 3. While you're looking for Exodus chapter 3, on the back table, of course, you'll see our display. There are prayer cards. I'd like for every family to pick up a prayer card and take the ones that you can prayerfully use, put them on your refrigerator or wherever you keep your prayer cards, and do remember us. Also, there is a mailing list that if you were not here when we came before, when we were going on deputation, I'd like you to put your name and address on there so you can receive our letter when we send it out periodically. If you were here before and you are normally receiving our prayer card, prayer letter, every 2 to 3 months, I'd like you to go by and behind the table, on the back part of the table, you'll see a mailing list. And I'd like you to go through there because probably all of your addresses have changed since we were here before. As you know, everybody's route number and box number got turned to a street address. And we don't have any of those changes. And the post office will not continue to transfer your mail for much longer. It may be reaching the deadline already. So if you'd take that and go through it, and if you find your name in there, change it, change the address, and we'll try to get those corrections taken care of. This will help us not to have to look up everybody individually and find the change of address. If you don't have a chance to do it tonight, we'll try to have it here Wednesday night, and you can take an opportunity Wednesday night to make that change. Thank you very much. In Exodus chapter 3, we find the story of Moses, the call of Moses, and the experience is the burning bush. Now, I'll not read the whole passage because you know what happened. Moses, after a failed attempt to do what he felt like God wanted him to do in the land of Egypt, that is, free the children of Israel, had gone to the land of Midian where he stayed for 40 years, raising sheep in the desert. And after that period of training and preparation, God spoke to him from a burning bush and called him to Egypt. You can see in verse 6 of chapter 3. Moreover, he said, verse 5, he says, "Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground." And then Moses heard this challenge from God in verse 10. "Come now, therefore, I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." What a call. What a challenge. God spoke to Moses in a miraculous, awe-inspiring manner. And what did Moses say? "Amen, Lord. Sure. Anything you say." Now we find about five excuses that Moses gave. And unfortunately, we haven't changed very much in the last few thousand years. We're still making the same excuses that Moses made. I'd like tonight to look at some of the excuses that Moses made, but also I'd like to use some of these that are mentioned here as a reference point to our work in Brazil. I call on one hand this message, "What is in thine hand?" But also I call this message a testimony of God's blessing in Brazil. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, use tonight your word. Speak through me, I pray, Lord, that you might challenge hearts, that there may be people here tonight who would hear the call that you are giving them. Lord, I believe you're not calling everybody to Brazil. It's not possible that everyone in this church uproot themselves and their family and go to Brazil or even to another foreign country. But Lord, I do believe that every Christian in this room is called to serve you. And I pray, Lord, that that service might be done effectively and efficiently and in your power. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Moses, when he heard the call of God, said in verse 11, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" Now, to be honest, I want to give Moses his due. If you and I were there in Moses' situation, we might have asked the very same question, don't you think? God says to Moses, "You are to go before Pharaoh, and you will tell Pharaoh to let my people go." And Moses said, "Who, me? Lord, are you talking to the right guy? Lord, don't you remember? Back 40 years ago, when I thought that that's what you wanted me to do, and I tried to get the children of Israel to follow me, and I even killed a man, and what happened, Lord? I ended up running for my life. Do you remember, Lord, what happened in that day? It didn't work. Lord, you've got the wrong guy. I've already made an attempt at this. It's not going to work. You need somebody else. The Lord said in response to Moses, in verse 12, "Certainly I will be with thee." You know, the Lord answered Moses' question by giving him a promise. He said, "Look, I will be with you. You don't have to go by yourself. I'm not sending you down there to do this work alone. Certainly, I will be with you." Now look quickly at verse 13. These first two I'd like to go through rather rapidly. "And Moses said unto God," Moses had another question. He wasn't through. The Lord answered the first one for him, but he had another one. "Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say?" Now, I said I want to give Moses his due. I think these first two we might graciously grant to Moses as legitimate questions. Don't you think? First of all, he said, "Lord, look, are you sure you have the right guy? Who am I? I'm nobody in particular. I'm nobody good. I'm nobody great." And then the second place, he said, Lord, what am I going to say? I mean, I'll get down there, and they're going to want to know who sent me. So, Lord, what am I going to say? I think that's a legitimate question. Moses, we can grant him the privilege of asking those two questions. God, of course, had an answer for him. Moses perhaps had a reason to say this. Remember what the children of Israel said to him the first time in chapter 2 of Exodus, verse 14, when he said, "Look, God sent me down here to save all you folks." And they said to him, "Who made thee a prince and a judge over us?" They didn't buy his divine call. They said, "Who are you?" Moses said, "Lord," remember what they said? "What am I going to tell them this time, Lord?" They'll ask the same question. But God said in verse 14, "I am that I am." Right here, the Lord is giving to Moses his divine name. Now God, there are many names given to God in the Scriptures. But this name, "I am that I am," reveals that God is the all, the ever-existing, the God who always was, the God who always is, the God who always will be. The name Jehovah is simply our anglicized version of the word in Hebrew that means the one that exists. So God said to Moses, "Look, Moses, you just go because I'm going with you and I am the God who is." That's a pretty good God to go with you, isn't it? The God who is. But now, my friends, I want to go just a little bit further and I want to look at the next excuse that we find Moses making. God says over in chapter 3, Moses begins to leave, in chapter 4, Moses begins to leave now the reasonable questions that a person might ask. And no longer is he saying, "Well, Lord, how are we going to do this and how could it be accomplished?" All of a sudden now Moses is starting to make excuses. And he's saying in verse 1 of chapter 4, "But," now, he's not asking questions anymore. He says, "But, behold, they will not believe me." And I'm afraid we do the same thing. It's one thing to say, "Lord, what will you have me to do? And Lord, how will you have me to do it? And Lord, can I do it?" But it's another thing to start saying, "Lord, I'm not going to do it. I can't do it." Moses says here, "Lord, they will not believe me. Lord, I just know. I know better than you. They're not going to believe me. They will not hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord had not appeared unto thee." But God's gracious, and he gives him another answer in verse 2. "And the Lord said unto him, What is in thine hand? And Moses said, A rod." When we find this rod mentioned again in the Scriptures, it's not called Moses' rod. You know what it's called? It's called the rod of God. God took that stick that Moses had in his hand, and he used that as an instrument of blessing and a signal and a sign to his people. God said to Moses, "What is in thine hand?" You know, when the Lord sent us to Brazil, my wife already made reference to this, he wasn't calling us to Brazil because we were the best looking or the most intelligent or the most talented or the most capable. And I can thank the Lord because if we had to be the most talented or the best looking or are the most capable, then we would have failed. But like this stick that Moses had in his hand, we could be available. You realize, folks, what God is saying to us tonight? It's not your ability, but it's your availability that God wants. God said, Moses, what is that in your hand? And he said, well, it's just a rod. God said, give it to me. And Moses did, and it became the rod of God. Are you available to God tonight? That's what God wants. He wants you to be available for Him. When we went down to Brazil, the first thing we did was go to language school. I had an uncle who told me that I should just pray for the gift of tongues. I said I would gladly get the gift of tongues to speak Portuguese if I could. Funny thing about that is, all the Pentecostal missionaries that go to Brazil also have to go to language school. Now, isn't that amazing? None of them get the gift of tongues either. Not to speak a foreign language is what the gift of tongues is in the Bible. But we had to study the language first, and we were down there a few months. I've shared this with some of you. And a pastor asked us, a Brazilian pastor asked us to come and speak, but to help in his church. I couldn't lead in a word of silent prayers, Preacher Lassie says. I couldn't do anything. But I could play the accordion after a fashion. That was the best instrument they had, so they asked me to come and play the accordion. So we went over to this church and started helping this pastor. And we were really happy there. It was a young church just getting started. I thought, man, here's great experience. A Brazilian pastor who speaks beautifully. And he did. He had terrific diction. And I said, here's a young missionary church just getting started. I mean, we are really going to get experience here. This is going to be a blessing to us. Well, we'd been there about 3 months, and the pastor left. The church had gotten up to about 60 people, but we were averaging about 40 in attendance. And the pastor just left. We didn't have a building. We were using a person's home. We didn't have a sign, hardly, for the church. And there we were when the pastor left in that spot. And people looked to us for spiritual leadership. I've told you this already, I know. But I couldn't answer people's questions. People would come up to me and they'd start telling me a problem. And I didn't know what they're talking about. I didn't know if they're talking about marital problems, or discipline problems, or financial problems. I had no idea what they're talking about. They'd get done. I could tell they were finished by the look on their face. And I'd say, let's pray. And I'd pray. And I'd say, dear God, I'd say this in Portuguese. I'd say, dear God, you know all about this problem. And Lord, would you help them with this problem? Not knowing at all what the problem's about. Nor knowing how to counsel them and tell them what to do about it, because I didn't have the vocabulary. If I had understood. You know, what an experience to go through. I told my wife, and she knows this, I hated going to church at that time. I didn't want to go to church. I didn't want to be at church. I wanted to go anywhere else except to that congregation. Church dropped down. The congregation dropped down to nothing. The first Wednesday night after the pastor left and I had the service by myself, two teenage boys and an elderly lady showed up. That was it. That was the congregation. And I did the best I could. Sunday morning rolled around, and we had Sunday school, and I called all the people together, and I handed out, I think we had somebody at that point who took the kids off. I'm trying to remember exactly what we did. I don't remember for sure. But anyway, I had the adults together and the teenagers, and everybody had Bibles. We passed out Bibles, and I said, look up Matthew, some verse, I don't remember now what verse. I gave out a verse, and I said, let's read that verse. I had somebody read it. And I said, does anybody have anything to say about this verse? And somebody would say something about it. I'd say, that's good. Does anybody else have anything to say about this verse? And somebody else would say something. I'd say, that's good. Does anybody else have something? And it'd run out after a while, and I'd say, okay, here's another verse. And I'd give out another verse. And I'd say, does anybody have anything to say about this verse? And that's how we had Sunday school. I didn't know what they were talking about. They might have been preaching heresy for all I knew. But I couldn't preach, folks. I couldn't teach a lesson. I didn't have the ability to do it. And I didn't want to go to church. But you know, I knew that I couldn't walk away from those people because they were counting on me. And I was the only one. There wasn't anybody else that could go. There wasn't anybody else there. Well, the Lord used that situation. The Lord used us. I can't say how. That first Wednesday night where I had the service, two teenage boys and an elderly lady and myself. And the last Wednesday night we were there, 74 people present. The Lord used that somehow, brought people in, gave us helpers, and brought later on another missionary couple in from their furlough who wanted to looking for a place to work, and they came in. That church today has a beautiful building, congregation that averages about 70 people. They don't have a pastor yet. It's still not ready to launch out on its own. But I look at that and I say, Lord, I didn't do that. You did that. But you used me because I was there and I was available and I didn't walk off when I wanted to walk off. You know, there's probably a bus captain here tonight. I know there is, who's just about as beat as he can be. Maybe there's a Sunday school teacher who's, you've sort of been through it all and you're not sure you can handle anymore. Maybe there's a deacon here or a mother or a dad, and somehow the burdens are too heavy for you, and somehow you're not sure you can handle it anymore. But you know, God wants to use you if you'll be available. He's not saying to you, stay in there as long as it's fun and as long as it's easy. God says, stay in there as long as you're needed, and I'll use you. I'll bless you. Well, we thank the Lord for using us. Preacher Lassie said one time, I wrote this down, I don't remember when he said it, but he said, God can hit a pretty good lick with a mighty crooked stick. And that's where we were. Just a little old stick in God's hand that he could use us for his glory. And God said to Moses, Moses, what is in your hand? And he said, it's a rod. God said, okay, that's my rod now. Throw it down. There's another excuse Moses gives down in verse 10. And Moses said to the Lord, oh my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant. But I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. He said, Lord, now listen, you know me. I stutter. I never have been able to talk good. I've never been able to give a good speech. And so, Lord, and not only that, Lord, I wasn't able to do it before, and I haven't been able to do it since you started talking to me. Now, I sort of have my doubts about that. It seems to me Moses is thinking pretty fast on his feet here, don't you? Comes up with one excuse right after another. I think he's got more talent than he believes. But he says, Lord, now you know I'm not a very good speaker, Lord, so I can't do that. Well, what was God's answer? God said in verse 11, who hath made man's mouth? Who maketh the dumb, or the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Hath not I, the Lord? God says, look, Moses, now here, you are so worried about your ability, and I made your mouth. I made the people that are dumb. I made the people that speak. I made the people that are deaf, and I made the people that hear. Now, Moses, don't you think that I can give you whatever you need in your situation? Well, the Lord has promised all of us that same thing. He will provide every need we have when we're serving Him. Now, I can't say that God will get everything you want, because we had a lot of things we wanted in Brazil and we didn't get. I remember wanting root beer. Brother Gary sent me a bottle of root beer extract. It was terrible. I found out later you're supposed to mix it with something. But we didn't get everything we wanted. But you know, the Lord gave us everything we needed. He provided every single detail. He supplied things sometimes we didn't even know we needed until He supplied it. I remember when we were down there, we had a teacher the first year, came down and helped us with our children. My wife had planned to homeschool, and then we had a little surprise come along that sort of complicated our lives, and Renee wasn't up to teaching. And the second year, we had a young lady lined up. She was prepared to come down and teach our children. She had already agreed to come. We had already spent probably a couple hundred dollars talking to her on the telephone, lining up her schedule and telling her how to do things, and sent all of our school materials to her. Everything was ready to go. And about 3 weeks before school was supposed to start, our teacher from the year before called us. She said, have you talked to so-and-so? And I said, no, I hadn't talked to her recently. She said, you better call her because she's not coming. Well, this young lady had not called us, hadn't told us that she changed her mind. So I called her up. Sure enough, she wasn't coming. 3 weeks before school was going to start, and we didn't have a teacher. My wife panicked. Now, I was very calm. I had no problem in this matter. I was completely calm. I said, well, honey, you'll just have to teach him. I thought, simple matter, no problem. My wife was hysterical. And so let me just tell you, though, how the Lord worked that out. She calmly said to me, how am I going to get a hold of another teacher? I can't call people in the United States. I've already spent $200 on phone bills. Calling costs $5 a minute, and we don't even have a lead. Who are we going to talk to? Well, Renee, just by chance, wasn't chance, but seen by chance, called one of her friends in Brazil. Wasn't somebody she called every week, but one of her friends. It just so happened by chance that that woman had met that day an American school teacher in Brazil. By chance, that American school teacher had brought a group of young people down. They were supposed to go to Haiti. But by chance, folks, Haiti was having riots and overthrowing the government. And so they, by chance, decided to come to Brazil instead at the last minute. This woman had told her principal, her school, that she was resigning and was not coming back. She had told no one else in her church that she was not coming back to that teaching position. She came and by chance spoke to this missionary that she didn't even know and said to her, "You know, I'm not going back to my school next year to teach. I don't know what the Lord has in store for me, but I know it's not going back there. He's got something else for me to do." And she told us later, she said, "I don't know why I was talking to this total stranger and telling her my life secrets. But you see, the Lord wanted to work all of it out." This missionary said to Renee, "Well, you know, this teacher right here is not going, she's not going back to her school next year. She doesn't know what the Lord wants to do. Why don't you call her?" Well, Renee called her. We talked to her on the phone, asked her if she'd come out and see us. She did come out and see us, and in spite of that, decided to come back to Brazil. Rushed home, settled her affairs, gave up her apartment, loaned her car to somebody, stored all her things, and 2 weeks later was back in Brazil teaching our children for a school term. Now, Lord, how could the Lord do a thing like that if he wasn't all-powerful and able to know the end from the beginning? Wouldn't it have been a disaster if that girl who didn't have the character to call me up and let me know she'd changed her mind had come to Brazil anyway and tried to teach my kids? Wouldn't that have been a disaster? It'd have been awful. We'd have been sorry every minute she was there. But see, the Lord worked all that out because he had somebody special that wouldn't be available till the end of July or the end of August to come down. Well, God supplies every need. And God will supply your need too, my friend, as you serve him. When you think you've reached the end of your rope, it's just because God wants to get you in a place where he can supply your needs. God can't help you as long as you're supplying your own needs. It's only when you reach the end of your resources that that's when God wants to abundantly supply what you need. You see, the Lord wanted Moses to say, "Lord, I'm slow of speech and I can't talk very well." God wanted to say, "That's right, Moses, and I'm going to help you. I'm going to be with your mouth and I'm going to tell you what you can say." And then finally, in verse 13, Moses comes across with the pious excuse. He couldn't think of any more good reasons, so finally he just said, "No, I'm not going." In verse 13, he said, "O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send." Sounds pious, doesn't it? "Lord, send whoever he may be." As if God was talking to somebody else. As if all this time, all the things the Lord had said really didn't make any difference, and God really, deep down, had somebody else in mind. "Lord, I pray, send thee by the hand of him whom thou wilt send." And you know what God did? God got angry. Verse 14, "The anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he'll be glad in his heart." God said, "Look, you're going to go. You're going. No more, I'm not asking anymore. You're going. It's not a voluntary situation. And I'm going to send Aaron. You're going to be sorry the whole time that Aaron's there. He's going to cause you trouble. He's going to mess up things. And you're going to be robbed of one of the greatest blessings of your life. But you're going." You know what God wants from us? God wants us to say yes. That's all he wants. God wants us to be available. He wants us to know that he can provide every need we have. And then deep down, God wants us just to say, "Yes, Lord. Here am I, Lord. Send me." Moses was willing. "Lord, here am I. Send him." And that's how we do it, isn't it? "Lord, boy, Lord, we need another," whatever it is that we need. "And Lord, send somebody to do it. Whoever he may be." Well, I'm not saying it's always you, but it could be. And God, like Preacher Lassie said this morning, maybe just calling you to say yes, and then he'll show you that maybe that isn't exactly what he has in store for you. But he wants you to say yes. Because God wants your heart. That's what he wants. Tonight, Brother Bernard and his wife sang that beautiful song. And while he was singing it, I was sitting there thinking, Lord, I'm not sure I can say that exactly. I'm not sure that I've got the grace right at this moment to say, Lord, whatever it takes. I'm still not real sure I can say that. But then right after that, we sang, be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. You see, my friends, God isn't a mean ogre who is trying to do something to you. God is the God of love who wants to do something for you. He wants to bless you. But God cannot bless you until you say yes. Here am I, Lord. Send me. To every Christian, every bush is a burning bush, and all ground is holy ground. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said that. What he meant by that was that if you're in the place of God's service, whether it be in what we call the secular world or Christian ministry, if that is what God wants you to do, then that bush is a burning bush. And that ground is holy ground because it's what God wants you to do. And you've said, here am I, Lord, send me. You have not resisted like Moses, but you've said, yes, God, I will go. Have you found your burning bush, my friend? Are you walking tonight on holy ground? God wants to bless you. He wants you to go. He wants you to say yes. You know, I know I've shared this many times. It's the way Lord worked in my life. It's my testimony, so you'll pardon me if I share it again with you. I know many of you have heard it, maybe more than once, but there are some that haven't. But it's over and over again, it reinforces to me what is so critical in my life. When I surrendered that night, Preacher Lastly mentioned, and came forward in the service, I said, God, I'll go to Brazil if you'll make it clear. And that's what I meant. But somehow I wasn't clear. And I didn't seem to be able to get clear on what God wanted me to do. And I remember praying over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, walking up to our little house there over in Greenwood Subdivision, walking up and down the little short hallway there, and praying over and over again, dear God, I'll go to Brazil if you'll make it clear. Dear God, I'll go to Brazil if you'll make it clear. Dear God, I'll go to Brazil if you'll make it clear. And it wasn't clear. I just got more and more upset, more and more worried and out of sorts. I prayed and prayed and prayed and didn't seem to get anywhere with that prayer. And I said, Lord, what's wrong? Here I am praying, Lord, I'll go if you want me to go. And all of a sudden I realized that the wrong word was being used. It wasn't the Lord if God wanted to hear. God wanted to hear me say yes. And all of a sudden, I realized that, and I just said, look, Lord, I'm going to Brazil. If you don't want me to go, make it clear. And the moment I said those words, I got peace in my heart. The Lord solved it. I didn't have any more doubts. Hadn't had a doubt yet. Hadn't had a doubt since. Why? Because God wanted me to say yes. What does God want from your life tonight? I believe every Christian has a place of service, a ministry to perform. Now, your ministry is not the same as my ministry. I don't know what God has prepared for you. But I believe every Christian in God's will has a place of service. And God wants to get you to the point where you can serve Him. It may be that some of you are far enough away from God tonight that you're not ready to serve Him and you've got to get right first. You need to come to God tonight and just get on your knees and say, look, Lord, I know I've been living in sin. I'm living away from you. I've been cold in my heart, indifferent to the needs of others, indifferent to the call of God in my life. Dear God, here am I, Lord. Use me. I want to be right with you. I surrender my life to you. But some of you, you already are serving God, and as far as you know, there's no barrier. There's nothing, no hidden sin between you and God. But it could be that you've never actually said to God, here am I, Lord. Send me. Maybe God's calling somebody tonight to go to Brazil. One of my goals as we've come this year on furlough is to raise up workers for Brazil. We work with Bob and Corrine Jones. Our church here supports them. I don't know how long Bob and Corrine are going to be on the field. Brother Bob is a terrific servant of God, but his health is so precarious. Bob cannot open a car door by himself. There are some car doors that are a little easier to open. He can get them open. But certain car doors, the one on the back of his car, for instance, he can't open. He's so weak. But God, with Bob's weakness and his frailty, multiplies his strength over and over and uses Bob in a terrific way. But I don't know how long Bob's going to be on the field. And by the time somebody who surrendered tonight was to get to the field, after a year of raising their support or so, maybe a little while to arrange their fares, maybe a year in language school, it would be 3 or 4 years before that person could get on the field to work with us. So if God was to raise up somebody during this year of furloughs, come down to help us in Brazil, they wouldn't be there for maybe 3, maybe 4 years, maybe longer, depending on their deputation. And my friend, I don't know if Bob's got another term. Maybe Bob's had more terms on the field than I'll have. But it could be that God is raising up somebody tonight or somebody on this furlough to come and take Bob's place and to work with us on the team. I don't know. But God is calling people to serve. And He's calling you to. I'd like you to bow your heads right now. And let me ask you those three questions again. Are you available to God? Are you able to trust God for your needs? Are you saying yes to God? I had a struggle while that song was going on tonight that Bernard was singing because I was sitting there saying, Lord, I don't know if I can say yes right now. God's dealing with you too tonight. And you're sitting there struggling. You know God wants you to say yes. You don't really know where that yes is going to lead you, but you know God wants you to say yes. Why don't you just say it? Give up. Quit fighting. Just say, yes, God. I'll take that step, whatever God wants you to do. Come back to God. Get right with God. Serve God. Whatever the step is. Why don't you take it tonight? With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, we're going to sing, All to Jesus I Surrender. You don't need the music. The pianist will play softly and we'll sing. You know the words, but why don't you sing it from your heart? And if God has spoken to you tonight, why don't you just step out? Don't wait around anybody else to come. Just slip right out of your seat, come down to the front, kneel here and say, Yes, God, I'm saying yes. I'm saying yes. Whatever it is, whatever the matter, whatever the line God wants you to cross, why don't you step out? Yes, God. Yes, God. Step out. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence. Daily live. Let's stand to our feet and sing. All to Jesus I surrender. Come, if God is speaking to you.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender.
I'm not going to delay the service. I don't want to do that. If the Lord's speaking, if the Lord's working, then that's what we want to continue. And we'll not go on indefinitely, just another stanza. But I can't help but believe that God is speaking to people. God is saying to you, He's touching something right now. And you've got a queasy feeling in the pit of your stomach because you know what God is touching you about. It's that area that you just don't want to surrender to Him. And why don't you just come? Just slip out. Say, yes, Lord, I surrender. Here it is. I give it up to you. Lord, I don't know where this is going to take me. I don't know where this is going to lead me. I don't know what's going to be the consequences of this surrender, but I'm going to make it anyway. I'm going to trust you, Lord, because I believe you're a good God and you do right and you're not going to bring anything bad into my life. You're not going to do something to me, Lord. I know you're wanting to do something for me. So why don't you slip out right now while we're singing this last verse. All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at thy feet I bow, okay?
All to Jesus I surrender.